This podcast brought to you by Hope 103.2.
6 years ago today, Mandy Burgess lost her beautiful daughter Tanya in a brutal stabbing attack on the Central Coast. Now, the years since have obviously been filled with a lot of trauma and distress, but recently Mandy, Chris and their daughter Gemma have attempted to start a new chapter in their lives by moving to Sydney. Mandy has come in to share her journey so far with us. Hi, Mandy, how are you doing?
Hi, Katrina, how are you?
Yeah, it's been 6 years now since today.
Yes, it is.
Does it ever get any easier?
I don't think it does get any easier. I think there's really just the time factor, just grasping that 6 years has gone past, and it's sort of like the hands of the clock has stopped 6 years ago today, and time has moved on. I think when I look at Gemma, who was 10 at the time, a little girl, 10 years old, and now she's 16, and Blake doing his HSC, now he's turning 24, there is a factor where, time has just disappeared on me. And no, I don't think it gets any easier. I think for me, it's recognising that time has changed and I have moved one step forward by moving back to Sydney late last year. But no, I don't think it gets any easier than that.
No, no. Obviously, it must be hard to talk about it, but can you tell us what actually happened to your girl?
Yeah, this is a hard one to talk about. Mm. 6 years ago today, my daughter was coming home from school on a bus. The children in the area uses a shortcut behind the back of the private car park to get to where we live. A boy was waiting for her in the back of the car park, and what had actually happened to her is just so horrific. I got a call from Chris. I was in the just pulled into the driveway to tell me to get down to the resort. Tanya had been stabbed, and Gemma and I just flung the car doors open and ran down. It was only less than 100 metres down to the back of this car park. And what we saw, we just saw Tanya lying there. The images will never, they'll be with me every day of my life.
Yeah, it's a horrific thing for you to have seen, and for Gemma to have seen as well.
Yeah, I remember the ambulances and the commotion and the ambulance men trying to save her. I've relived this over and over again through flashbacks in the past, but we knelt down and prayed to God that she would make it to the hospital in time, and by the time we got down there, down to Gosford Hospital, she was gone. And I guess time has stood still since that very day, 6 years ago. She was stabbed 48 times. It was horrific.
And you still don't know why he did it? Obviously, it was a premeditated attack.
It was premeditated. We have never been told ever why he did this to her. We have our theories, but we can't really talk about them in public. But yeah, it was definitely premeditated.
Yeah. But on top of that, you were attacked by the same person a month before. What happened then?
Yeah. 4 weeks before, it was a Friday afternoon, and I was standing in my kitchen washing up, and I could just feel the presence of someone watching me from the right. And when I turned, there was a youth dressed in full school uniform staring at me. And I asked him what did he want, and he told me he was looking for somebody. I just freaked. I just freaked out. I just told him to get out of my house, and he wouldn't, and he kept walking around, and he kept sort of just kept staring at me. And I think he was sort of out of it. I don't know. Just, but what happened then in the foyer at the front of my house, he just started attacking me and belting into me. I remember this wrought iron mirror that was on the wall coming down on top of me, and I passed out. I remember the ambulance taking me to hospital, and I came home that night, late that night, and I had some pretty, like, just cuts and bruises, and I was pretty well still in shock. And yeah, when I think about that event, I sort of unfortunately have combined both events in my head together, but I try and focus on the beautiful yellow roses that Tanya left me on my bed the morning after, telling me how much she loved me and how much she wanted me to get better. And I try and focus on the flowers when I think about the attack that happened to me 4 weeks earlier.
And that assault, you felt it wasn't ever properly investigated, didn't you?
Yes, it was never. It was poorly investigated by Gosford Police.
And you feel that it was the same person who attacked Tanya?
I know it was the same person. Yeah. What actually had happened, bus cameras weren't checked. It took the police weeks and weeks just to get some kind of identification process going. With these poor-sized passport photos that the police gave me for ID, I could not identify him. They were just so grainy and poor in image. After Tanya had been murdered, I was given a proper identification process where it was on a full-size computer screen, and I know I picked him straight away. I knew it was him. It was too late. It was just too late. The identification that they gave me after Tanya was murdered was good, and I picked him.
And that should have been a month earlier.
It should have been a month earlier. You can't identify somebody on poor image photos that have been copied on A4 copy paper that are passport size. It's impossible. You just cannot. And I've been told later on that the image of him on the passport size photos didn't even look like him. It was just ridiculous. The whole thing was ridiculous.
Tanya did, though, live long enough to identify him and to say his name and his school and his year, and he has since been sentenced. So how did you feel when he was convicted?
It took us 3 years to get to a trial. The trial was postponed 3 times, and by the time we actually got to sentencing, I was just so relieved it was over. However, I remember I did walk up to the two detectives in court that were in charge of our case and said he would have got a lot longer if he would have been charged for the assault on me, and walked off. But I do remember that day.
I'm speaking with Mandy Burgess, who lost her beautiful daughter Tanya in a brutal stabbing attack on the Central Coast 6 years ago today. One of the things you fought against, Mandy, is the fact that he can't be named because he was a juvenile when he committed the crime. Why would you like to see that law changed?
That law in particular is very unfair. It's unfair on the victims and their families and the public. A child is allowed to leave home at the age of 16. A child at the age of 18 can vote, they can get married, and they can drink alcohol legally. At the age of 18, you virtually take full responsibility of your life. I believe that in the crimes of rape and also with murder, that the offender needs to be named at the age of 18, and they need to own what they've done, what horrendous crime they have done, by their name. I'm organising a meeting with the Attorney General and with the victims of the homicide support group, and we will take this forward.
So you're continuing to pursue
this law, which is just so outdated and ridiculous. It needs to be changed. We just did a ABC live segment on the 1st of July where it is all about Tanya and about these laws, and that is available on the internet to be viewed under the 730 New South Wales website under archives. So the whole story's out there, including this juvenile justice law that needs to be changed and how I'm going to fight for it.
Yeah, and you'll keep fighting for
it. And I'll keep fighting for it, yeah.
So tell us about your life now, Mandy. You moved to Sydney to start a new life 6 months ago, and how's that going for you?
Yeah, it is a new life. It was so strange. After living on the Central Coast for 12 years, like we'd lived in the eastern suburbs of Sydney most of our life, but we have spent a lot of time in Sydney in the last 12 years. But moving to the inner west was just so strange and unfamiliar. It's an area where I'd never, ever been, hardly at all. And it was busy. You have airplanes flying over your head every 3 minutes.
But different to the Central Coast,
So much different. I love it. I love living in the inner west of Sydney. It's so vibrant. It's full of life. It's a food paradise. You can eat anywhere you please. Yeah. Any kind of food, you will find it.
Yeah. Has it been good to start again? Has that been helpful?
It's been hard. We had to virtually leave all our support behind. We know hardly anyone in Sydney anymore. We had to leave my family, my friends, our little church behind and virtually move into an area where you know absolutely nobody, which is good in some ways, but bad in other ways.
Yeah.
Gemma has started a new life. She started in a selective high school. It was one of the main reasons we chose the inner west for year 11 this year. She's made new friends. It's been great to the fact that we see our son Blake more because he was already down here in Sydney.
I imagine too that for your kids, that it would be an opportunity for them to, I guess, find themselves a little bit and not just be defined by being Tanya's brothers and sisters, because people on the Central Coast would know who they are and know the story, and they would almost be tied up with that and defined by it.
It is a beautiful place to be community-wise, and yes, when all this happened, it was just such a shock to the whole of the Central Coast, and I'm glad to be away from it now.
Yeah.
I get a bit depressed when I come back from the Central Coast when I visit. Yeah, it takes me normally a day to get over it. I've started a new job 3 months ago, which I totally love, in a little private school in the inner west of Sydney with accounts work. I love the people I work with. I feel like I'm a little bit more in control of my life since I've moved.
Yeah.
But that dread of what's happened to Tanya is with me every day.
Yeah.
It's just I'm in a different environment now and I feel better being in that environment.
But does it place a strain on, do you worry about your other, you know, I mean, Gemma now is the age that Tanya was when you lost her, and does that play on your mind?
It does. Yeah. And I overprotect her and she hates it.
She must understand it though, surely.
In her own way, I think she does understand it, but I think Sydney's a big place and Gemma's really got no fear. So she's a typical 16-year-old girl. And I worry about her so much and what she's up to. And, I do overprotect her. I still look at her sometimes as a 10-year-old. That's my problem.
Because you're stuck in time.
I'm stuck in time, yeah. I look at her as this little girl in primary school with this long blonde hair and playing with Barbie dolls. She's not that anymore. Yeah. She's this grown-up, beautiful 16-year-old girl with a life ahead of her. And,
When a great tragedy like this happens, Mandy, often people try to make sense of it and they try to find some meaning in it. Some people do, some people don't. Have you struggled with that, or do you just not even try to make sense of it because it doesn't make sense?
I struggle with it. I just can't make sense of it. I think if you try and make sense of it, it could really send you round the bend.
Yeah.
I struggle with my faith with God. I ask him a lot of times, why did you take her away from me? You just can't make any sense of what has happened to Tanya. It really doesn't comprehend.
Since Tanya died, have you ever had moments of feeling normal or just of feeling happy or just feeling like you might be hopeful again one day? Have you ever had moments where you're just laughing and going, I can't believe I'm actually laughing again?
Yeah, I probably have. I really can't remember if it's happened as in laughter, like over the last years or not. But my new job makes me feel normal. My work makes me feel normal. Also, the fact that I've got something to look forward to in the near future. Blake's girlfriend's moving from Brisbane to Sydney, which we're really excited about. This is going to happen next week. Gemma's going to Europe for three weeks to Italy and France with her school. And we've been, you know, so excited for her that we've given her this opportunity that she can go with them. And, yeah.
So there's little things like that.
It's the little things that count. Mm. It's the little things that each day you take it as it comes, but yeah. You look forward. You have to have something to look forward to in the near future, or you could easily get into some kind of rut again. Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be a really long journey for me. I think when I get through some more therapy work, and I've got problems with memory, a lot of my memory in the past is black. Mm. When I can piece the memory pieces together, then I think I'll be a lot better for it.
Mm. Yeah. Thanks, Mandy, for coming in and sharing some of your story, and just for having the courage to do that today.
You're welcome, Katrina.
Yeah, that's Mandy Burgess, who lost her 15-year-old daughter in a brutal attack on this day 6 years ago. And just as you're listening today, keep Mandy and her family in your thoughts and prayers today and in the years ahead too. Thanks.
This has been a Hope 103.2 podcast. For helpful articles, station news, videos, devotional emails and more podcasts, visit hope1032.com.au.